Welcome to this fourth and final week lesson, whatever, of this course. And it's not, as you may have realised or be realising, it's not a four-week course. It is a way of living. And it takes 4 weeks to get the information across that you need to know to undo the myths inside your own consciousness that are stopping you from progressing. But it's really a way of living. It's really a way of being. And it hopefully will be a springboard for a deeper expression of your life and your the essence of what you are, and to just break free from limitations. So tonight's lesson is, it will take a little bit longer than the rest to kind of assimilate. And because of that, I'm going to say again that you don't need to intellectually understand what I'm about to say. Just like with lesson two, it will still be having an effect already. Well, all the lessons really. It's not about struggling to understand. It's about just hearing the information enough times that it becomes consciousness. The self learns by repetition. And when something is familiar enough, it'll be accepted and acted upon by the self. So that's really all that we're responsible for, is to expose ourselves to this information as many times as we can. And then it'll become familiar and we'll begin to live it just by that. So on the hidden page where these audios and videos are uploaded to, there are links to the satsang where I read from my book, Reality Check, which if you don't have the book, you can always access the satsang where I read from it. Lesson four and Reality Check kind of go hand in hand, and they work together really quite well. So I'd advise you to make sure that you've watched those satsangs when you've got time, and also to make sure you've watched the core teachings, which are the set of three satsangs that we did on meditation, self-inquiry, and contemplation, because they are skills that the course is founded on, these skills, and really is essential really for moving forward in your life and deepening. So just to double check that you've watched those three initially, and then these two parts on Reality Check, which will go hand in hand with what we're going to do tonight. Just before we get into lesson four, just a kind of a recap of lesson three. Once we come to see that we are looking from the self at the ego and not the other way around, and that is a deepening conviction that can start from wherever you're at. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. Wherever your identity is shifting already, wherever that is right now is fine for what we're going to say. You can then begin to hopefully see a simplification, so that in any moment we are either living as a self in which no thought is true for us, nothing that mind can suggest applies to us, or we're living as the ego. So any situation that comes up, any pattern, any lack, want, need, desire, suffering, anything at all that happens is going to suggest to you something that you need or want, or something that you want to get rid of. So, and we can literally step out. So there is only one pattern in the end. Am I being the ego, or am I being the self? So as the self, you are not sleeping, you are not eating, you are not trying to lose weight, you're not working, you're not spending money, you're not saving, you're not in debt, you're not transcending, you're not meditating, contemplating, all of that. Anything that mind at all could suggest to you is, if you agree with it, then you're going to take the position of the ego. And that means you're going to take the position of a work in progress. There's still further for you to go. And that will disturb you through causality, through cause and effect. If you agree that there's more for you to go, to do, to fix, if you allow your experience to tell you there's something you need to fix, there's something wrong that needs to be corrected about you, or that you're not good enough, or that, you know, you're not safe, all of those things are the foundation of the ego. So any and all thoughts are basically coming from the egoic sense of self. And you can literally step out of it all in one go and say, none of that applies to me. So there's an experience of lack in your world, in your relationships, lack of money, lack of time, lack of respect, lack of peace, lack of wellness, lack of health, lack of energy, whatever it is, whichever way it's playing. If you agree that there's something you need to do about this, there's further work for you to do, then you're going to be responding to life as the egoic sense of self. And the basic rule of thumb is, if it's not true for the noumenon now, with identity shifting for you, it's not true for you. So if there seems to be further to go, more work to do, it seems to be a clearer seeing needed, it seems to be something to let go of or to transcend, any of that, if you agree with that, you're right back into time and space, duality, cause and effect, and it'll be endless. At any moment, you can ask yourself, is this true for the silence? Does it have to let go? Does it need to forgive? Does it need to heal? Does it need to find more time, more patience? Hold it up against the problem that mind is suggesting to you. Hold it up against the noumenon and the self, and ask, is this a problem for the awareness, the beingness, the consciousness? Does the presence have anything it needs to do? Does it even need to wake up? Does it need to see clearer? All of this. So I'll take questions at the end, as always. So if you want to ask anything about that, it comes down to one pattern in the end. Am I living as a someone with somewhere to go, waking up, all the rest of it, or am I living as the self? Live as the self in this moment and don't agree that you need or want anything, even though your experience may be suggesting that to you. Then you're going to get out of that loop, out of all loops, in fact, completely. That is the only pattern that's ever disturbed us all, is the idea that there's further for us to go, that we're not already the perfect self. If I identify what's happening in my world, my relationships, my body, etc., my finances, if I say that's happening to me, then I'm going to keep experiencing it. There is no way out of that. Okay, so lesson four is, as far as we've come, as much as we've seen, and as much as we've experienced so far, there is a whole, I hesitate to say the word level because it's not a level. There is a whole further stage or seeing of realization that is available to us all, and it's being surrounded by myth and all kinds of ideas that it's very rare and it's difficult to reach and all of that, and it's nonsense. It's just that there hasn't perhaps been clear explanation of how to achieve it. And we're going to look tonight at the first and last duality, which is the same, the very first place that we divide ourselves from anything, the very first time we feel separate to anything at all, is when we have seen ourselves to be the formless awareness. As we saw last week, we're coming from the noumenon. We are that already. We've never actually been a work in progress. And when we have seen clearly that, then there'll only be one more place that we're disturbing ourselves. And whether this duality is playing for you right now or not, it will at some point. It'll begin to, you begin to feel as if you're suffering again a little bit. And that is the idea that the unmanifest is different to and separate from the manifestation, that the formless silence is different to the world of form, or that the creator and the created are separate and two. Because increasingly, as you let go of these patterns, there's going to be more and more peace, silence, joy arising, and just a natural state of feeling complete and whole. And then when we go, out into our world, our experience, we're going to be, pulled, seemingly pulled back into the world of form and relationships and duality and all of that. And for me, there was this experience that began to occur, deepening sense of duality, where I could reach some amazing states within myself, unbelievably amazing states, and then I would have to open my eyes and go back into doing what I needed to do And there was a real sense of difference between what I experienced in my deepest meditation, my deepest contemplation, and what I experienced with my eyes open and talking and moving and working and all of that. And it comes from this first division, that the world of forms and phenomena that we perceive with our senses is actually real and separate to the formless awareness, silence, stillness, whatever we're calling it tonight, and that there actually are two worlds. Most of us are convinced that these are two different worlds, and I know I was. And the reason lesson two is on causality is because now in lesson four we can come to see that if I keep perceiving through ego, trying to fix this problem through the ego, I'm going to go around and around in circles. Ego judges based on appearance, how things seem to be. It has to make a quick snapshot decision based on how things appear to be. And it judges, it looks at the formless silence that we experience in meditation and when we're tuning in, and it holds it up against the world of other beings and forms and phenomena. And it seems to be that they're opposites. It seems to be that the world of form, this room I'm sitting in with all these objects, and the formless silence are complete opposites. You couldn't get any more opposite as far as ego is concerned. So ego is convinced there are two worlds. And as Ramana Maharshi said, the world is unreal, and Brahman, the self alone, is real. And then he said the world is Brahman, meaning the world is also the self, the silence, even though it looks opposite. So this last seeing, this deepening of seeing, can be to live where the sages live, which is to live as the absolute reality, which in which we're living, our bodies moving around in the world, but there is no, with this clear and final seeing, that all this world of form and phenomena is not really what it seems to be. That it is the noumenon appearing to be something, that the noumenon can appear as nothing, emptiness, formlessness, or it can appear as something, a body, a table, a planet, a thought, an emotion, and everything in between. It's appearing as all of that. But it's not actually become two. The sense of duality is the sense. Manifestation never actually occurred as in something arising out of the self, because that would be two things, the self and all this material world, or the awareness and everything that we're aware of, or the silence and all the sound that arises out of it. So what does this seeing mean? It means that everything we perceive, experience, taste, touch, feel with our body, in our world, every other being that we're convinced is an other being, is actually the silence. There is nothing other than the formless self. Manifestation then becomes an appearance rather than actuality. All this appears to be something, but it's made out of nothing at all, nothing. And science has even proved this now. You know, if we take any solid object at all, including our own body, and we put it under a microscope, if we keep going down through the layers and increasing the magnification, we end up with just a vibration. And all of manifestation is a vibration. What our senses are actually taking in right now, you're not seeing an image of me, you're seeing a vibration. And it's your brain that's saying that is Helen, rather than what your eyes are actually seeing. Your ears are not hearing words, they're hearing vibration. And it's your brain that's saying what these words mean, and they're recognized inside you. So lesson four is an invitation to kind of begin to discover what everything actually is. And we can either experience our thoughts about what everything is, who everyone is, or we can experience what they actually are. And the major benefit of doing this is that you feel the same even in the middle of an airport, or in the middle of a supermarket, or in the middle of 100 people in a group, as you do in your deepest meditation. There's no sense of difference when my eyes open, when I'm moving around. I don't lose that peace. There is no sense of other left. The first place that sense of otherness arises is in this first division between unmanifest and manifest. And this is what the sages have realized. And it's always going to be seem a really far out and mystical thing to realize, but it's really not. It can be realized. And this is what lesson four is for. So if there's something that interests you, I'd absolutely recommend. As much fun as we've had and as far as we've come, there is so much more that I would love to show you and share with you in this final lesson. And it will take a little bit longer to assimilate, as I said before. But just to want to know what everything is. And the Buddha statue behind me is a reference to that. The Buddha statue, any Buddha statue that we have, is not referring to the physical body that was the man that walked this planet. It's referring to the Buddha nature, the infinite field, which is the only thing that is. If we even think about it logically, there cannot be all these phenomena and things here in the way that we perceive them. Because if there were all these world of form, this world of form, infinite diverse forms, then the noumenon by definition wouldn't be infinite. You cannot have infinite noumenon and something else. Otherwise, by definition, the silence isn't infinite. It isn't everywhere all the time. There is something other than it. So what does that mean? And it means everything, absolutely everything, is the self. The self is all there is. And it can appear as a form or formless. So how have we become so convinced then that this world of form is real and separate? The world of form, we're not negating the world and the manifestation. It's an appearance just like a mirage of water is. If you go on a hot day and you look at a mirage on the road, it appears that there's water there. But as you get close to it, that it's not actually any water, you can't get wet from it. And the world is kind of like that. It's an appearance. When you see the world, you don't see the self everywhere. When you see the self, you don't really see the world in the same way. You see God wherever you look. You see the divine constantly. There's nothing other than that. And that leads to unbreakable peace that is just it's just an amazing way to live. To live like that is constant joy and awe and wonder, and it becomes a very childlike way to explore. Everything that you perceive for the rest of your life, you know what that is. And that can sound really, really dull. Or from the actual lived experience, it's an exploration. It's an endless parade of shapes that you, the self, are making. And you get to experience those, all the different ways that you can appear. And the huge benefit is you will not be able to suffer ever again. It's a literal experiential knowing that there is nothing out there that can hurt you at all. Nothing at all. No thing at all exists independently of the self. So as an analogy, if we had some clay and we were shaping it into different things, did some pottery, maybe we make a plate and a cup and a vase and 10 different items, and we could shape them, we could bake it, we could paint them, we could varnish them. All these would look like different things and we'd use them all for different reasons, but they're all just clay. So if we don't judge based on what things appear to be, we can come to an experiential knowing what they actually are. And there is a huge world of difference, and to realize this, it will just pull you out of, you'll be in the world but not of it, as Christ said so wonderfully. So lesson four then is we're going to investigate, why are we all convinced that this world of form is actually real in the way that we think? Why are we all so, why does something seem solid? If it's silence condensed to look like something, why can't I walk through this wall? Why am I sitting on this sofa, and why don't I actually fall through it if it's not solid? And what implications does that have for our life if everything isn't at all what we thought it was? So firstly, as we saw in lesson three last week, when we tune into the noumenon, we saw that we weren't doing that with our mind or our senses. So I recognize the silence that's here and it's everywhere. And I'm not using my mind or my senses to do that. So before the body arose, before you had a human body, there was just you, the formlessness, and you could recognize yourself as that silence. There's only one way to perceive yourself, unmanifest, formless silence, awareness, beingness, whatever we're calling it. And then when the body came, which is made of silence too, by the way, it's not other than that, you condense down the silence into this shape called a human being. Now you have two options. You can look through the senses and the mind, or you can look without the senses and the mind, as we saw in lesson three. When I look without the senses and the mind, I ask what all this is. There's just a vast, formless awareness that's everywhere. When I look through my eyes and listen through my ears, there seems to be now a second world of form and phenomena and objects. So when I look through my senses, there's a world of form. When I look without my senses, there's just the emptiness, the nothingness that is the noumenon. Which one of those then is correct? Well, the sense of the world of phenomena and form is only perceivable through your senses. And even at deep sleep at night time, the whole world of phenomena and form vanishes. It's just gone. And there is no sense of duality left. There is only the one option, emptiness, formless awareness, consciousness, the self. And then you wake up in the morning, you begin to look through the senses again. There appears to be another world as well. So the world of form and phenomena is only a seems to be that happens while we have the body. It's only a seems to be. Everything seems to be solid, visible, tangible. There seems to be two options when we have a human body, two ways to perceive. If I ask, we know where the silence is, our experience is just everywhere. It's an unending because it's not a thing that has any edges. It's just everywhere all the time. I open my eyes and there seems to be all these forms and phenomena right in the space where the silence is. Can that be so then? Not so much. What I'm looking at, what I'm experiencing with my senses must be the formless silence too, looking like something. So as I began to realize this, I began to get very curious as to why everything then felt solid. If it's made of the self, why does something seem solid? Why do we have categories of liquid and gas? And it really comes down to the fact that manifestation is a vibration. Creation is an appearance. What we're actually experiencing with our senses at any moment is an ocean of vibration. And your eyes take a snapshot of a particular vibration and your brain gives it a label and says, I know what that thing is. And it thinks, it perceives that it's an object. And to perceive that object or that someone, you've got to ignore everything else that's in your visual field and it is here right now. So we somehow pulled off this ability to see objects, to take a slice out of the infinite and say, I know what that is. And then we remember. So if everything is just a vibration, if what our eyes are actually taking, and you can prove this if you have a Google as well, if you want scientific proof. They've proved that everything is just a energy moving as either a waveform or a particle. And when we view it, we're actually, what's the optic nerve in the eye is taking in is vibration. What the ear is hearing is vibration. What the senses, my hands are touching, it is vibration. So why does everything seem solid then? And it really comes down to solid has to be redefined, physical, tangible, solid. Those words have to be redefined as something that is vibrating at a similar rate to my human senses. So if I see something that's visible, it means that it's vibrating at a range that is in a range that my eyes can pick up. So just because something is invisible does not mean it's not here. It just means it's out of my visual range. Right now, I'm breathing the air in this room and I can't see it, but I'm pretty certain it's here. Even in the visual spectrum, there are things that are out of our ability to perceive that we know exists, such as infrared, ultraviolet light, and other things. There's also things like a dog whistle that is out of our audible range of perception, but of course dogs can hear it because their range is different to ours. So solid becomes something. If I pick up something solid, like this glass, I cannot put my hand through it because it's vibrating at a very similar rate to my hand, my finger. And then when something begins to vibrate faster than my hand, we call it liquid. So I can put my finger in the liquid and move it around. I can't do that with a solid. And then when something vibrates even faster than that, we call it a gas, just like the air in this room. And I can put my hand right through it because there is no, there's a huge vibrational difference. So the wall, I can't walk into the wall because it feels solid. It's vibrating at a very similar range to my physical senses. Anything that vibrates within the range of my human senses, I'm going to call solid, visible, tangible, audible, and anything that is outside of the range of my senses, I'm going to call intangible, invisible, inaudible, and so on and so forth. So you can begin to reclassify the world of form as not being different at all than the formlessness. You could say that for a while you are, permanently you are invisible and intangible as a self. For a short time you also seem to be visible and tangible with a human body. But it's not really so. There aren't really two worlds. There seems to be while you have a body. Well, I keep picking up things that I can hold. I keep reinforcing this idea that I'm solid, my body's solid, the paper is solid, and the feedback is giving me the idea, this self-sustaining illusion that there really is a world of form and phenomena. But if you just don't use your senses right now, you try to perceive one object in the room that you're sitting in and ask yourself, what do you really know about it if you don't use memory or you're not actually touching it or perceiving it? You don't know anything about it at all. So there's a table in my room across there and I can remember that it's solid, but I don't actually know that until I touch it. I don't know anything about it at all unless I use my memory now. So we keep creating this world of solid objects and forms through memory. We keep reinforcing this illusion that there is a world of form through memory. And it really is a self-sustaining illusion because every other being also is agreeing that there's a world of form and phenomena. And really all there is the self. There is nothing other than the self at all. There's no other being out there. There is no other thing at all that is not you. Everything is the formless awareness condensed down. So an analogy that kind of helped me was the water. Right now in this room, in the air, and wherever you're sitting, breathing, there is water vapor in the air, and it's invisible and intangible. Can't see it, can't drink it. If we were to turn down the temperature in this room, really cool it right down, at some point water would start to condense on the windows and run down the windows into liquid because we're slowing down the vibration. And if we cooled it down even more, then that water would condense even further, slow down even further into a physical block of ice. So it's the same water. A certain vibration, we call it invisible and intangible and gaseous. And a different vibration, we call it solid, and we can literally pick it up. So the self is kind of like that. When we use our human senses, we've got the ability to perceive the world of form seemingly. But that isn't permanent. That is going to go. That only lasts as long as the body's here. While the body's here, there seems to be a whole different way, two ways to perceive yourself, either as a form or without your senses as the formlessness. When the body disappears, then there is only the one way left. And you prove that right now if you, as in lesson three, if you don't use your senses to perceive what you are, there is only the formlessness. And you can ask the question, what really even is my body? If you really want to get into this, and you will eventually come to the answer with the formless silence. So, what's the point of realizing all of this? It's so that you have the same experience when you're out and about at work or whatever you're doing in your life. And you don't have to lose that sense of utter quiet. There's an utter quietness that comes with this realization that nothing at all is really how it seems to be. Nobody is how they seem to be. And that really, everything I think and feel about some other being or something, it is what I've been experiencing. And perhaps I've never actually met anyone before. Maybe I've only experienced what I think they are. And as you begin to explore this, you can really ask this question, what is this thing that I'm perceiving? And instead of experiencing our projections, we'll either keep experiencing the virtual reality that we keep projecting onto this. The only thing that is out here is you, the formless silence, the stillness. There is nothing other than that. There can be nothing other than the self. Not even the idea that something arose out of the self and merges back in. Why? Because that would be two. And there isn't two, there's only the one. You can prove that now. When I ask, what am I? And I tune in, there's only the one. There isn't two. The major ramifications of this is that you'll see that the ego never rose out of the self. It never arose from the self, separated out of the self. There never was a separate sense of self, even though they will seem to be, as we were saying last week. And even if, as this is deeply realized, for me, even now, that I seem to be sitting in a room talking to you all, sitting on a solid sofa with a human body, it still seems to be like that. There's a sense of duality, but it doesn't trouble me because I know what everything really is. And there is a beautiful way to experience your life, moving from trying to get what we feel we need to feel safe, to feel loved, all of that, to feel complete, to feel worthy, to an understanding, a realization that can be very, very experiential, that there is nothing other than the self. There's nothing to hurt you. The basis of feeling separate, that there's something other than you, is going to bring fear and a sense of feeling divided. And this duality that we're talking about tonight, when we dissolve this last duality, it doesn't mean that the world disappears. Everything will be completely the same. If you were sat here with me, it would look exactly the same to you as it does to me. But the difference is, I know there really isn't two worlds. And I would really recommend you apply yourself to this lesson and realize the absolute self, which includes the sense of a relative world of you and me and this and that. But it's only a sense, it's not going to be something that troubles you. And the deepest seeing is that this body that I have believed I was living in is also the silence, looking like a human body. And what does that mean? It means I don't have to fear its ending because it isn't really here in the way I think it is. I experience it as being real, but it's real because it's the self. It's not real, and it was never born, never manifested out of the self. It was assembled together, the material. Material assembled together in a factory we call a womb, and out of the five elements, which are constantly being recycled. When I've done with this body, it'll get recycled and made into something else. Manifestation is a huge recycling process, but the five elements are all vibration, and vibration is underneath the vibration, there is no thing at all. Everything that seems to be a form is empty and insubstantial in nature, and there is an utter peace and joy and Everything is experienced on a much deeper, more intimate level than is possible with even the first duality. The first duality is the only one that's ever troubled you, the sense that there is something other than you, even manifestation. So it may seem a bit of a far out one to realize this, but it's actually very, very simple. Spirituality gets extraordinarily simple here. There is nothing other than you. Nothing is what it appears to be. We only know what something is in our mind when we actually experience what it is. We'll experience it as that great formless silence, that great emptiness, that source of love itself. And the major benefit of realizing this is that you begin to fall back in love with all of creation, because you see it is not different to you. Just like you love your own self and you want your own self to be happy and to be joyful and to be safe and to feel loved, the same feeling begins to extend to all of creation. Animate and inanimate are also seen to be completely untrue. There is nothing inanimate in reality. It is all the self, that pure intelligence appearing as an inanimate form, inanimate shape, or appearing as a sentient human being. But really, there is no difference between a rock and a human being. You could probably have a more intelligent conversation with a human being, but there is no essential difference in what it is. So how to live like this experientially, how to come to recognize this? Well, intuitively, we know that there is only the one, that all of this is the self. We only have to investigate, to question, to look at where we keep disturbing ourselves with the idea that some other being or something is real. Whatever objects we think are real, we'll really want them, or we'll really want to get rid of them, or we'll be in relationship with it somehow. So, for example, if there's another being that you're having a problem with, it's because you're certain that that being is actually there. And I'm not talking about abandoning your children or anything like that. It's really just seeing what they are actually made out of, what everything is made out of. Really what everything is, the essence of it is all the same one being. So that we can begin to question wherever we have a problem with something, you can have a sense that something is missing from your life, like money, like peace, like respect, like time. All of these are objects we believe to be real, and therefore we'll be trying to get them or trying to get rid of them. And if the realization deepens in you that there is nothing to get or get rid of, there is just the one massive ocean of vibration that is manifestation, and underneath that there is just the formlessness, then the sense of desire and need is going to disappear even quicker. If it's there still, it's fine, but it's going to disappear even quicker, because there is nothing out there to want, very, very literally. And in this seeing, then the manifestation can change into the shape that you require for your existence to make you feel safer and happy. Whatever you want is going to come when you realize it isn't actually that thing. So that is the essence of lesson four, is to look at where we're having a problem with something. There are three signs for where we think the objects are real still. And this is going to take some reinforcing again and again, because the whole world believes that we're living in a world of diverse forms, infinite number of forms, and it's not true. You can think of every form as a facet on a jewel, a jewel that's got many, many facets, faces, infinite number of faces, but none of these can exist without the rest of them. It's one integral whole. Each facet will look different, will feel different. And somehow this one undivided self makes itself appear to be an infinite number of forms, and the diversity is never ending. Even as a human being, it will never look the same way or speak the same way twice. Even as a seeker, it's never going to wake up the same way twice. As a teacher, it's never going to teach the same way twice. As a blade of grass, it will always look like a different blade of grass. There's never two snowflakes that are the same, ever. And on it goes. It's just amazing, the self and its ability to take these beautiful shapes. So I'm inviting you to really begin to question if you can see from what I've said about the presence or absence of your body and the senses, that there isn't really two worlds, then you can stop trying to bring these two worlds together. If I'm sure that there are two worlds, form and formless, I'll be trying to merge them together. And through causality, perceiving as the ego, I'm going to have to keep experiencing them as two separate worlds. The beautiful world that I experience in my deepest moments, and then the normal, average, everyday world that I seem to experience. If instead I can realize that they must be the same one, then I can ask a more intelligent question like, what's it like to know that all this is the self? What's it like to live from that place? What's it like to experience that? And it is just simply the most beautiful way to experience life ever. Absolute absence of fear, an inability to suffer, a constantly increasing peace, love, joy, and an effortless quiet that just cushions everything that you experience. Every time I teach this lesson, I try to describe this, and every time I feel like I never get anywhere close. But it is just the most incredible way to experience life. Can you imagine how it would feel if you knew that you were seeing God everywhere, all the time? Everything you would ever experience, from the next bar of chocolate you eat to the person at work that really rubs you up the wrong way, that it is the same divinity appearing as this particular shape. And when this is deeply seen, we lose the barriers in our experience, and we begin to, instead of like mind fears, we become cold to the world. Oh, none of this is real. It absolutely is real because it's the self. Just like you love the self as the reason you're even hearing these words, you begin to love all of creation as the self, including your own body, without a fear of its ending. And you begin to experience everything as it actually is. Empty, completely empty of substance. You get to experience and meet beings for the first time. It became very clear to me that I'd never, even my own family, I'd never met them at all. I'd only ever met my projections about them, thinking that they were other beings. And when I first, you know, began to encounter everything again after this seeing deepened, it's like the end of the seeking is the beginning of exploration and discovery of what everything actually is. And the more that you see this and realize this, the more that life is going to surprise and delight you. It will just astound you with what it does, the shapes that it takes. And all of this becomes a playground that's been created for you, a never-ending parade of shapes and changing forms, each one more beautiful than the next one, each one more enchanting. And even the senses begin to have an upgrade. The colors that you will see will move you to tears. The stunning colors of autumn, the reds and the oranges and the yellows on the trees as the leaves turn. The grass is like a luminous green almost. And the taste of something that you've eaten or drank so many times before is just amazing. Like the simple cup of tea or a bar of chocolate or something. And even if you're listening to music, something that most people have a very dualistic experience of, the music is happening inside you and the body is responding directly to the vibration of the music, and you'll be listening with goosebumps, and you know, because your body knows that there's an experiential reflection, there's no separation. The music is not being played by someone outside of you, it's happening inside you, and everything takes on this aliveness, this quality of sentience, and even something that we would have overlooked before as inert or mundane, it is just not. There is nothing at all that is unholy. And even with what's going on in the world today, we can begin to look at that with different eyes and begin to, okay, it'd be nice if it happened to evolve into a better form. But I see what it is. I'm not going to add to the world's projections about it. I'm going to see if I can see it as it really is. and I don't have to agree with it, but I can see it for what it actually is. And that everyone is perceiving from this idea that all these forms are real and gonna, you know, there's something, there's actually something to fear. So lesson four isn't so much about technical techniques and advice. It's hopefully to inspire you to go back to that wonderful innocence and curiosity and openness that we had before, that we never actually fell from grace, that we never were separate beings, that nothing is actually what we think it is. And thought, there's nothing wrong with thought, but you can only ever experience what you think reality is, or you can experience reality directly. And experiencing what you think something is doesn't get anywhere close to the absolute beauty and perfection that is possible to perceive in this moment. And I really, really hope I'm inspiring you to have a taste of what this is like. I really would like you to experience reality as it actually is. And to do that, we have to go beyond this mass hypnosis that all of humanity believes, that the world of form and phenomena is real and separate to the self. It simply isn't. It will always appear to be, there'll always appear to be two worlds, but not actually so. There isn't actually those two worlds. Wouldn't you like to experience the deepest peace that never breaks, and joy and a passion for life and energy, a sense of well-being, a love that just bursts your heart open all the time, and each day gets better than the previous day? There is no limit to what you can experience as a human being. When the self takes the shape of a human being, it has the capacity for the first time to reflect upon itself, to find its source, to recognize what it really is. But it also has the capacity to delude itself. So you kind of have to go beyond what everyone else accepts, which is this idea that this is really a table, that this is really a body, that this is really a laptop. And all those labels are still there and functional, but what if you experience what everything actually is and you become open and curious again, and there's a wonderful innocence and an openness that you begin to live your life with? And life, I really can't describe what it's like. I would really love to be able to, but words just kind of cheapen it. But I hope I'm doing a good enough job of inspiring you to find out. It is possible. Where the sages live is the simplest realization. Instead of having to do this, that, and the other thing, there's only the self. And if you think that what you're looking at or experiencing is other than the self, find out what it actually is. It's very, very simple. You can ask a contemplation question. If we're having a challenge with any other being or anything that seems missing in our life, we can ask, well, what really is that? What actually is that thing that I want or need, or I'm trying to get rid of, or that being I'm having a challenge with? And the answer to every contemplation question eventually is silence, stillness, awareness, nothingness, emptiness, consciousness. And your entire experience can be cocooned in that. The real knowing of what everything actually is will eclipse what you think it is. And you begin to experience, well, for all the Matrix fans, when Morpheus says, you know, you take the red pill and you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes, it kind of really is like that. You're living in paradise all the time, and we've been unaware of it. So lesson four is a kind of a gateway, another way completely to exist, to spend your life. It's absolutely possible for everyone. Please don't feel this is some far off revelation. It really isn't, just a curiosity. What really is all this? Just like you'd ask, what am I, in self-inquiry? What is the world? What is this? What are these solid objects? When I really, really look beyond the thoughts, beyond my memory of these things, and begin to experience what it actually is. Time we're on. Okay. I'm going to make my announcements quickly, and then I will, before I forget to do them, oh no, I'll do them at the end. I'll take questions first. So if anyone wants to ask a question, you're more than welcome to. Just in case you've forgotten, it's click on participants and then scroll down to the bottom and raise hand. Okay, so we'll go with Videa. She looks raring to go.
Yeah, this is really timely. Before I went off to sleep, I asked, what is the truth? Show me more. And I had a dream, and we were walking on this path, and there were lots of different beautiful things and, alarming things. And eventually we got to this gate. And you said, "This is the kingdom of God," and you handed me some keys, and you said, "You've arrived," and you sort of had this bit of a smile or a grin, and so I turned around, you were gone. And I opened the gate, and then as I turned to look at everything, it was just thinning out until it all dissolved, and there was no path, no Helen. All the things along the way were just, dissolving in front of me. And then I wondered where, I realized I've always been inside. There's never been an outside. And then I thought, what am I? It was just all this beautiful light and little particles of light everywhere. And then every time I flickered, almost like the eyes or flickered awareness, I could see a tree appear, and then the path appear, and then Helen would appear, and then they dissolve again. And I realized, oh, it's always been me. It's always been this awareness just appearing and however it wants, when it wants. But it was the awareness, just it wasn't the two. It's just really beautiful.
It's amazing how this invisible, intangible, formless reality actually appears to be this whole world of diverse objects. They can do all of them, and yet never actually becomes that thing. Never actually loses its original nature, its purity. It's never been, it's never changed at all or been diminished in that appearance. It's just absolutely perfect right there. Whatever we're experiencing is that perfect self. It's wonderful, isn't it?
So thank you.
Good. Hopefully it's sinking in deeper than, the first time you did the course. The simplicity of living as a sage, I guess, it's the simplest state of all, isn't it? It's not complex at all. It's just there's nothing other than the self. Everything is that, and that is all there is. It's utterly simple, and I love simple.
Yeah, it's this lesson when you started, it was just it's just incredible. It's like this is all you need to hear as well. Really just allow this to
Wonderful.
not even allow, just is. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that.
A deep gratitude for you, Helen. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Sergio.
Oh, hi, Helen.
Hi, how
Oh,
are you doing?
well, this is the second time I'm listening to this, live to the session. To the lesson four. This time I just couldn't keep my eyes open. I guess the energy was so strong that it was very hard. for the body to be awake. And I wanted to be awake because I thought, you know, if I keep closing the eyes or in this sensation of being of this beautiful energy, say, I'm not getting what Ellen is saying. But I'm confused with how, okay, if in this lesson there's no technique, how does then self-inquiry or contemplation, or how can I deepen on the realization that everything that I see, it's also me, the self?
That's a good question. And, you know, and there can be some technique. It was really not so much, you know, sort of technical teaching in a lesson, more hopefully to inspire you to want to experience it. But really, I just kind of began to become intensely, if there was a technique, I was intensely curious as to what this actually is. What is all of this? And that curiosity became urgent. You know, just, I have to know what this is beyond the ordinary surface experience of all of this. You know, so there's a real kind of, just like at first when I started out on a pathway, there was a burning question, what am I or who am I? It kind of just then expanded because I've been experiencing in my self-inquiry that there was that noumenon that's everywhere, and there was clearer and clearer seeing that the noumenon was everywhere, that it didn't have an edge. But then my experience with my eyes open and moving around seemed to contradict that, that there was a world of form as well. So I just saw, okay, one of them's permanent and the other view is temporary while I have a body. So I want to see, I want to feel the same where my eyes are open and moving around and I'm having an argument with someone or something, you know, when I'm in the middle of a busy place. So I want to get to the point where I can never delude myself again, ever. And that was just an intense curiosity and a wanting to see what all of this is. And that has not gone away. It's just gets stronger day by day, you know, because I can always experience it. It can say there's an absolute knowing that all of this is the self, that it's not at all what it looks like. But there's always an ability to experience it deeper in the mind and body. So you get to have your cake and eat it. Mm-hmm. You get this deepening experience going on in the mind and body. If there was a technique, it was a kind of a question like, what really is this? Or what is reality? Became a really important question for me. I just kind of, I want to know what it is. Realization deepened inside me that I'd never experienced reality. The power of the self is that if I believe I know what all this is, I'll experience it like that. I know this is a table. I know this is a person. I know this is my sister. I know this is fear. I know this is whatever, right? And there was just a deepening realization that I'd never experienced the end of any of it. At all. I'd only ever experienced what I thought about everything, my projections. I'd lived out my projections. I've been living in this world in my head, completely ignoring what all this actually was, like we all do. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. But
so the key would be like a passion to really, with that curiosity of a kid, to find out what really is this without believing in the projection of my mind.
Yeah. And there are some wonderful teachings that help inspire you to, and there was actually a passage, it's only a few words actually, I wrote it down because it inspired me. It was spoken by Muji in the middle of Prakash's album, Heart to Heart, in a Shiva Shankara song that you might not know it, but I think it's a quote from the Ashtravakra Gita, but I can't remember. But Muji says, I am Shiva, the ancient one. The division between bodies is only imagined. The division between places is only imagined. Truly, I am Shiva, the one supreme self. Lord of the universe. How then should I worship? To whom shall I bow? I used to play that song in my car, and I'd rewind it and I'd listen to that section again and again and again. And I said, I want that. I want to know that. Like, I have to. You know, like an urgency became urgent. And that's why I'm trying to light this fire tonight in everyone today. That I want to know, not Lord of the universe as in lording over it, but the supreme power behind the universe that creates and sustains the sense of a universe. And there was just this feeling that arose in me that I have to find out. I have to know this before this body goes, and I have to know it as quickly as possible. I can't live in any illusion anymore. I don't want to experience projections about reality. You know, because so hopefully that gives you, it's more about an attitude rather than a technique.
Right.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yes, definitely. Passion.
When you experience at first that undivided state, you know, that there's no division at all. The only time we've ever experienced that is in deep sleep before, but we can't access it consciously. So when you start to experience it, the body will feel at first like it's going to sleep. Like, I just can't stay awake. Like, you know, really kind of fighting to stay awake. But as you experience it more and more, you begin to see it's totally possible to be talking and walking, and inside you're like in the deepest meditation, but outside you're chatting and having a cuppa and meeting friends and all of that, right?
Okay.
So that sense of falling asleep is normal at first. It's kind of, our body is not used to functioning with no thought going on at all, no conceptualization. So it goes, oh, this must be bedtime then, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. But if you persist with it, you'll get used to it and you'll prove to yourself that you can walk around with your eyes open, and you can even drive like this, you can work like this, all of it.
Great. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you for asking. Fantastic. Okay, does anyone else want to ask any questions at all about anything from the course? Any lesson at all? Okay, Sophie.
Hi, Helen.
Hiya.
Okay, I'm really inspired.
Oh, good, good.
and do have that real burning longing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sitting here now, and I'd like to get the sense of the contraction in the body. I keep on about this. I just have to come to peace with it, but as also the self, so that it's not something that is, there's no at odds with it, which is like the seeming expression of duality, is that we separate and then we're at odds with our experience, is mm-hmm. basically saying that, you know. And so there's that seeming kind of coming to see deeper is also, there's an also a duality in that, because it feels like if I just get a bit, you know, really question and get deeper, then I'm going to have this realization, which is actually true, because the more I do that, the clarity will be there. There will be a deepening. So I can't, you know, speaking from the mind, I know I'm already not really being truthful in that respect. I'm coming from a place that can't know, can't experience it. You know, you're talking about experience.
Yeah.
So it's like looking for that real experience of it, not trying to understand it from the mind. And that will only come from that real burning yearning to explore into that deeper.
Yeah.
But then I still feel like there's this massive like obstacle constantly in my experience, and I really just, yeah, that's always seems to be the problem. Like, and today I had the seeing from the course that I've never been contracted. I've really never been contracted. I'm not contracted. And there was a relaxation around that. But it is there as a constant experience.
Are you talking about something in the body? Is that something?
Yeah. Constant nervous system contraction. And I know that I, as a self, I'm not contracted. So it can allow it to just be there. But it always seems to be kind of having a calling that attention so it gets more focused around it still, you know, like you're saying that there's a relaxation of that focus, so it kind of
but let me ask you then, why do you feel you need this contraction to go?
Because it feels so dominant, it feels like the dominant thing. And I presume there's a belief that I'll feel better, there'll be more peace.
And so there is that true?
Well, yes, because when it goes yes, I do feel more peace.
But is it the absence of the contraction that brings more peace, or is it the absence of the idea that you need it to go that brings more peace? Do you want me to say that again?
Yes.
When the contraction goes, it dissipates for momentarily or whatever, there's more peace, agreed. But what was the cause of that more peace? Was it actually the contraction leaving, or was it that you stopped agreeing that you needed to go when it's gone? And if we really look at what's disturbing you, just what's diminishing your peace, it's the idea that you need something to change, anything at all. It could be that you need more money or more time or more health or more well-being, or you need this contraction to go from the body, this feeling to go, before you can experience a deeper peace. That's the only thing that's disturbing you. Just like if you really, really want something really badly and then you finally get it, when you get it, the feeling of wanting it has stopped and you seem to feel good because you've got it, but you feel good because the desire for it has stopped. You stop disturbing yourself. So the desire for this thing to go is what's disturbing you. The desire for this contraction to leave. Right. It's still, there's plenty of times during the waking state where that is there and there's still peace. Peace must be available in ever deepening capacity constantly. And it's not true that you need something to disappear or change before you can feel that. If you allow mind to suggest that you need this contraction to go, you're in a never-ending loop because the contraction is the same thing appearing two ways. I need this contraction to go, and the contraction itself are the same thing. So you're saying, I need this to go, but you're agreeing with the thoughts that it can never leave. You keep disturbing yourself and reinventing the contraction in the body because of you disturbing yourself. Okay, so the only way out of that is to say, well, is it really true this needs to go before I can feel peace, deeper peace? These subtle ideas, these causality loops that go around and around. I need to get more money so that I feel safer, so that I can feel more peaceful. I need the body to relax, or this pain to stop, or I need this emotion to go. On and on it goes, doesn't it? I need the next door's dog to stop barking before I can feel peace. But none of that is true. The only thing that ever diminishes your peace is the idea that you need or want something. But we believe these ideas because it really seems true that it's disturbing my peace. That's the experience. But if you don't agree with the thoughts, then the effect will also disappear. Okay. If you don't agree that you need anything, it can be there as strong as you want. And I proved this to myself. I felt intense fear once. And I thought, gosh, you know, this is just pretty full on. And there was, when I really applied this, there was bliss and peace as well as intense fear. You know, and I wouldn't have thought that was possible until I actually experienced it. Let me really find out if I need this to go before I can get back to peace, really. Or have I just been experiencing that idea? Mine's trying to give you a reason why you can't feel peaceful right now, and I'm not buying it at all. And hopefully you won't.
No, I don't. I'm so tired, and then coming to see that it is the self appearing as contraction. So it is peace in a contracted form.
Right now, if the self is infinite everywhere, and you are that, it must be possible to feel peace right now. Why is that seemingly not happening? Because you're believing that you're something other than the self by agreeing that I need. I need comes from ego. It's not wrong. It's just never going to get you to peace. From ego's perspective, it's going to say you need this to go. You're not going to get any deeper until this has disappeared. But you just go around that completely. It's just not true. Okay. There's nothing that can stop me feeling peaceful. Not an outer situation, not an inner thing, nothing at all. Because I am that self already. Just that knowing is what brings the peace. Peace is a symptom of knowing what you actually are. Not an absence of inner sensation or disturbance. You know, it's just not that way around. So you go, fine, stay there. I don't care. Stay there for the rest of my life. You can stay contracted. It really doesn't matter. Not in an uncaring way, but I don't need it to go. It's just not true. And then see how you feel, you know, the peace deepens inside. Right now, no matter what the body's feeling, whatever state it's in, no matter what your bank account is in, your relationships are in, with all of that, there's still peace available right now. When we see that, then the outer thing starts to reflect that as well, in this case, the contraction. But it will never work the way around that you've got it right now, you know. It just won't happen like that. Try it and see. You'll be amazed.
Thank you. I know we've been through this again, and I just feel like I have
to. Don't apologize for asking intelligent questions ever. Nobody should ever apologize for asking intelligent questions, especially about causality and things, because it's not, we have to keep reminding ourselves, don't we, that it isn't that way around that we thought it was for so long.
It's identifying that it's a belief that's causing it, not the actual feeling.
It's never been the food that you ate that upset you. It's always been the idea that this is going to upset me. You know, it's never been whatever it is that we agree that it is. It's always been our inner response to it, you know, that's caused the challenge, the disturbance. If we just stop disturbing ourselves, there'll be peace no matter what is going on right now in your phenomenal experience.
Thank you. And thank you so much for this course.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
I've been through the mill, but in the most beautiful way.
It kind of does that. It kind of picks you up and shapes you around a bit, doesn't it? And then puts you back down again. Yeah. Puts you back together again. Yeah.
A massive opening, and that's going to resonate ongoing. And, to do it again, and so thank you.
The tools are there now, and you'll just be getting better at applying those tools, contemplation, you know, tuning in, all of that, and it'll just get easier and easier. So it is a bit of a roller coaster ride the 4 weeks, but you'll get a bit of breathing space afterwards to kind of really assimilate and deepen in what's been explored. Lovely, thank you. All right, we'll go to Steve.
Hello, love. You're right.
Hiya, I am. Yes, thank you.
I was completely enthralled when you were telling me, explaining, you know, what it's like.
It's like being in Disneyland and paradise and kingdom of heaven all the time.
Beautiful.
And every day you go back,
it's certainly inspired me. Yeah,
better. Yeah, it's better. Good. I'm glad I'm inspired.
Yeah, I'm sure you have, everybody. I thought more people have been asking questions because I wasn't sure what I was going to ask, and then it galvanised, and I pressed the button and it's gone. But I mean,
that's always the way.
um, I'll do a share. It's more of a share, but there will be a question somewhere along the line.
Just give me 1 second, Stephen. I'm just going to stop the recording and start it.